Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt for Jack Watt's On Recovery, broadcasting today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the days are getting shorter, but by no means less pleasant. It was almost 80 degrees today. I saw people in shorts and flip-flops, like we are in sunny Florida, which, of course, we are not. I believe I have Stacy on the line. Stacy, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Jack. How are you?
Excellent. And we are waiting for Dr. McGee to arrive.
Okay.
And he's not here yet. So while he's come in here right now, I believe.
Is
Dr.
This,
McGee.
Is this codependent group here?
We're here for our session of group therapy. And the topic of today is codependency, which unfortunately, it always seems funny to me. Somebody is a drunk, and it takes five people to kind of take care of them, and they end up having as much problems as he does. It's even worse with people who are drug addicts, because their situations are far more grim. It seems like the support people, it doesn't seem fair, but they do end up with a lot of issues. And we have a program for helping people with things like this, and it's called Conquering Codependency. We also have an Untangling Relationships program about this too. But I'm going to let you just talk a little bit about this, Robert, and you know, why is it, and I want you to affirm me and say it isn't fair that we all have the problems because of other people, but I know that that's just the way life is.
Well, no one said that life was fair to start with. You begin with that point. Look, if it were just locked away to people who were addicted, then it wouldn't be that big a problem, right? But codependency stretches across a whole menagerie of issues. For instance, one of the things that's in the news right now is this deal about the cop that shot this kid in Ferguson, Missouri, right? And you have all these people who are crazy codependent trying to say something about it, and then you have the people who think that, gosh, this must be something important, because how could you have people who would be this upset, right, if there was not some truth to it? So the beginning of the whole codependency deal is to realize that it's all based on something that's false, right? It always is, right? And one of the false things is that we can control the life experience of another person. And the long and short of it is we can't, right? And what happens is we end up trying to interfere or intervene in this thing, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be the Ferguson deal. It could be the fact that we want to do something to keep someone that we care about from destroying their life, et cetera, et cetera. And it never works out very well. And the crazy part of it is that everybody ends up hating everybody in the whole process. And they feel justified in what they're doing. So, for instance, with this Ferguson deal, it didn't matter. I mean, why would these football players in St. Louis come out with this hands up, don't shoot routine when that never happened in Ferguson? It just never did. There's no evidence whatsoever, but there are some people who are trying to make money off this thing, are trying to gain an advantage that have sold this bill of goods, and we have these people who think, to be a good person, I have to respond to this, right? And
even the Black Caucus in Congress, when they are in the House of Representatives today, when they've been speaking, they've held their hands up as if, you know, the same thing, which, of course, the evidence shows that that didn't happen, you know, by direct testimony and everything like that. But why have your position altered by reality?
Well, but that's the point. Yeah, that's the point. It doesn't matter how crazy the whole deal is. If there's some reason, some internal reason, that's the reason why when you deal with codependent people, they're so difficult to deal with because you think you're going to deal with something that has some basis in reality. And I don't know how many times, and I know Stacey won't mind me saying this, I have pointed out to Stacey that her whole family's crazy, right? And why should she expect them to act any different today? And she has to agree with me. Yeah, they are. Because they just done something.
And, Robert, and you also say when I'm around them, I'm crazy too.
I noticed that too. I've been sober 22 years. But when I would go back to Boston, they would expect me to behave like I was 18. And I ended up doing it for a long time just because it was what was expected of me, even though it really didn't have anything to do with the current reality of who I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that is, in fact, the way this thing operates. And if you can stop there are some people. Now, there's some people, in terms of the Ferguson deal, are just playing the game, all right?
Right.
They're making something off of it. I figured that one out a few days ago. There are some people who are gaining an advantage on other people and using them. But that's really not much different than what happens in families either, because people respond to each other, and there's always a payoff involved in this thing. And with codependency, the person who's getting served, as it were, has a hard time deciding to back away from that, because after you have validated a person's expectations a number of times, it doesn't really matter how crazy that expectation is. As you just mentioned about going back to Boston, it didn't matter how crazy what their expectation was, because you had responded to it as though it weren't crazy a number of times, you ended up with that kind of response. See, life is not made up of what is true or false. It's made up of what we respond to as true or false. That's the reason why people, if they are responding as though God is some harsh, angry person, will respond as though that's what really is true. And when you try to talk to them about the fact that they got that one wrong, they don't seem to, no matter how obvious they're messed up, it just doesn't really matter, right? They're just dogged and determined that they're going to hold on to something that's craziness. So if you understand codependency, you have to understand that it's a balancing act. Both parties have to be responding inappropriately, responding in a way that that would make you think that they're responding to something that's true, even though neither party is responding to anything that's true. And that's what makes it so difficult to break out of, is because if one of the two parties would stop responding to what they're dealing with as though it were true, it'd be a lot easier to deal with. But that's not the way it works. And so, you know, it just keeps on rolling forward. Now, when it comes to, you always wonder when you talk to someone who's got an addict in their family, why did you put up with this? Well, they have responded to, as though it's somehow their responsibility to save this person, right? At least save them through this latest issue. Usually they're just trying to get past the next exit off the road.
Long-term planning is the current situation and maybe the one that happens next and nothing more.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's the reason why it becomes such an issue. Now, I remember we had a church in Washington, D.C. that was from a certain ethnic background. And for some reason, Stacey, you may remember this, they decided that as a church, they would go through codependency, which I sort of liked the idea because we were going to sell them a bunch of books. Not that that would be part of our theory, but it helped at the time. And I thought, I wonder what's going to happen with this. And, you know, all hell broke loose, right? Because I was watching the Rice Kid on television with his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, both of them were in a very dysfunctional relationship. Now, everybody's dumping on Ray, which they should, because you shouldn't be beating on your wife in an elevator with cameras or otherwise, all right? But the long and short of it is, you know, she, in this interview I saw, she was acting like, well, this had never happened before. Give me a break, you know? It has happened before. It did happen before, and it will happen again even, right? Because that was their pattern relationship. And that's what's enforcing this whole thing. And in terms of, there are two or three things I have to say about trying to break out of codependency. First is, if you don't know who you are, if you haven't come to that solid conclusion that you are a new creation in Christ, that you have a new identity, that God is your Lord and Savior, all right? You'll never break out of codependency, nor will you overcome your chemical dependency. It's just nothing going to happen. Sometimes we hit groups of people who have decided that they're going to deal with codependency from another perspective, and I'm going, oh, my gracious, they don't understand. You just can't overcome these kind of issues until you orient yourself different to who you are and who God is. And that's just critical. You're just not going to get there. That's the reason why you have all these codependency groups that can go forever. And you have counselors who have codependency in their clientele that, I mean, they could have a long-term relationship, a counseling relationship with these people, because they're not going to get any better until they come to the conclusion of that they have an identity that is based on what Christ says about them. And that's the reason why you have to always go back to the search for significance or the identity issues, which we talk about in some of our other books, you just can't get there. There is not a possibility, and it really grieves me when I know that there are people, there are churches that have come up with new programs of how to deal with these kinds of things. They're not going to do their people any good, because the relationships they have are closer. If the relationships they have are closer than their relationship is with Christ, then the closest relationship is going to win out. And if it's not Christ, they're going to end up on the short end of the stick. So,
all right, that is so well said, and really the key to everything. You were talking about Rice's wife. My heart really goes out to her. I mean, she wants to stand by her husband. She feels like she's doing the right thing. You know, I mean, he cold cocked her, and you know, it has happened before, and it will happen again. I mean, the patterns of these things are so well established. I mean, if it doesn't happen with this specific couple, in the 100,000 others are like it, it will happen almost every time in the 99 percentile. All right, let's just say that, you know, that a woman that's in a situation like that wants to break out. And how does she do that? And how can we help with our conquering codependency and untangling programs? You know,
well, I mean, the critical part of that whole deal is she cannot lean to her own understanding. If she has not come to a conclusion of what Jesus wants her to do in this process, if it's just what she responds to at the moment, then it's going to be a difficult road to go down. All right? She just
all right,
can't
let's
do
say
it.
Let's say that there are, you know, a group of women, we're just using women, they aren't the only ones that are codependent, but, you know, they decide, okay, enough's enough, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, and I want to be who he created me to be. How do they get from there to where they're supposed to be?
Well, they have to begin with realizing who God says they are, all right? That's the reason why these people who try to do these codependency groups without dealing with the salvation principles, they can, you know, they can have a lot of insight as to what's going on. But it's not really, they're not going to be successful, because until they have the identity in their core, then they're not going to be able to move forward. And so that's where they have to begin, is understanding what God says is true about them, living in that reality, and then in terms of breaking out of that relationship or responding correctly in that relationship, they have to understand it's not going to be based on how mad they get or how hurt they are. See, some people are waiting until they get really, 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 really hurt, all right, or really mad, or something really bad happens before they have sort of enough courage to move forward. Those times don't actually happen very often, and usually it's that they've lost a lot of their life because of it. And I mean,
you know,
Robert,
you know, when you said that, it reminds me of you know, my memoir that I wrote, Hi, My Name Is Jack. When I was married, and you know, my first marriage, and she was involved with somebody, and I kept saying, all right, if she cheats one more time, then I'm going to have to do something. After it had been in a pattern for like 4 years, and I was just so swimming in conflict and pain and not having a clue as to how to move forward, that I didn't know what to do. And it, you know, really, it years it cost me, for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better with age. And it just doesn't, you just don't wake up one day and it's over, right? Those kind of things just don't happen. A lot of people are waiting for something to happen. And quite frankly, they're afraid to take responsibility for what occurs, all right? And if they realize that if they can depend on God to take their responsibility, then and do what He has told them to do, then they can make it. But if, other than that, they're not going to make it, all right? They're going to wait. Because there's always a good reason to wait. And so I think one of the things that the codependency book does, though, and I would remind our people that if they want to see what the workbook looks like, which is an extremely good workbook, they can ask for it, and we'll send them an e-copy of it. Of the thing. But if I were them, I would read through the codependency book, fill it out. One of the things that will happen is, I think a lot of people, basically you've been in groups where they've gone through this material.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, people sort of begin to wake up to what's been happening to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not the first time they go through it. Sometimes it's the second or third time. But there's a sort of a response going, oh, yeah, that's what happened to me. That's what's going on. And at that point, then they really need to be directed to the Lord to be able to know what to do about it, because that's just the way it is. That they will recognize it's sort of like going to the doctor and being told that you have you need an operation. Now, that may not be the greatest thing you've heard that day, but in some ways, knowing that there's some solution to your issue, it can be very relieving. Right? A lot of people are afraid to hear that they're messed up. I remember when I was doing counseling on a one-to-one basis, there were many times I would tell people that they were really, really messed up. And I would, as I was trying to help some younger counselors learn how to deal with these kinds of issues, they would be surprised that I would be so blunt with these people. And I said, well, no. In fact, usually people, when they really understand what their problem is, are relieved, because now they know what they're dealing with. Up till that point, they didn't know what they were dealing with. I would really encourage people to, number one, request the book. The book is really, really very good. The book and workbook is very good. The workbook is not like the thing that I objected to in most workbooks, Christian workbooks, is it was just a rehash of what they read. These workbooks are not that. These workbooks are basically helping the person unpack what's happened to them. And why the principles. And it's very critical for them to see that. So all I can tell them, if I were dealing with someone on a one-to-one basis, I would have them, first of all, read The Search for Significance. The text part of The Search is not that long. And it is... What I can tell you is, you're not going to get much further without knowing the principles and the significance book. You just aren't. But then I would go to the codependency because you're locked in to a way of relating to somebody, and you're actually relating to that person more precisely and more directly than you are even the Lord Jesus. And that's not going to work out very well.
Well, that's really a lot of those. Stacy, tell everybody where they can take a look at what we have. Give them our web address and a number where they can reach you if they have questions.
Sure. Our website is www.mcgee.net. And that's mcgeeandme.net, all lowercase letters. And our phone number is 800-460-4673.
Dr. McGee, what other things about, just honestly, do you think it's better for people to go through the codependency stuff by themselves or in a group?
Well, I've seen that people respond better in a group. That's particularly true of women, that women usually like to talk more than men. And once they get into explaining and talking through these situations, it's like there's a confirming. Stacey, you saw that in the groups you went through.
Yes.
Tell them what happened.
Well, number one, I always protested being in a group because I didn't want, I had trust issues. But after I was persuaded and went to several groups, it became a real source of comfort. And it was also comforting to know that other people had suffered and struggled too. And it was in a group setting with a very good facilitator that it really dawned on me, even though I had been a Christian my whole life, that God really does love me and He has a plan for my life. And it's not where I was. And that's when things really started to change.
And how did you respond to that revelation?
Well, I did. It took a long while to take, and, I still am working through it. But I am free. I'm not locked up and a prisoner anymore. I'm free. I know that God loves me, and there's nothing I have to do. I don't have to dance as fast as I can to get Him to love me. I don't have to perform. And it's such a freeing, cathartic knowledge of who He really is.
You know, I think for me, honestly, it's not having to be approved by other people to feel good about myself, but to know that I am approved by the Lord when I do what He wants me to do, and it's made me an entirely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think that people who begin to understand God's love for them will not be as dependent on other people and getting their approval, and that will free them up tremendously to live life. And life can be a very long haul if you're having to get the approval of other people.
Oh, goodness, is that not absolutely the truth? Well, listen, we're out of time, so let me say, Robert, thank you so much. Stacy, thank you. This has been a very good show, and, we're committed to helping people with these issues, and we have resources to do it. So take a look at where they are at mcgeeandme.net. And let me say, Robert, Stacy, thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Good night, Jack.